Then we'll read a few verses here and then we'll stop and pray. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 1. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to the law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments concerning those things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? I say this to your shame. It is so that there is not a wise man among you, not even one, who will be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goes to law against brother, and that's before unbelievers. Now, therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to the law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren. And Father, as we study your word, I just pray that people's hearts are open and soft and understand that they are saints, that they know who they are. Do you not know? And so, Lord, may your word go forth. May it penetrate hearts. May it change lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you not know? That's the question. If you read these passages in 6, it's all sorts of things about, yes, lawsuits and glorifying God with our body and fleeing from sexual immorality. But the point is that Paul's coming at from this angle where he's saying, do you not know? Don't you know? Eh? Right? Do you not know? The first thing is do you not know you are saints? Right? In verse 1, saints. Do you not know the saints will judge the world? In verse 2, not before the saints? Well, saints. Well, who are saints? Saints are people who place their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. It's not a man-made process. It's not a step you go through. It's not all the good things that you have done, and so you have a list, and so you have a bunch of people going together and voting on whether you're going to be into sainthood or not. It is whether you place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. A saint. Do you not know you are saints? As I quoted before, Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. And keeping your heart is one of the things that we do as a saint. We guard our heart. We keep our heart. But our heart is deceitfully wicked, as it says in the Bible, right? And a heart can, we have a hard heart. Sometimes our hard heart needs a jolt of electricity. Boom, thump, and you're awake, and you're changed. And sometimes it needs to be cleaned out, where we get those stents put in our heart, where it's cleaned out because we're not doing the things we shouldn't be doing. And we have to put in stents. But we want a heart that is healthy and pumping and filled up with the Spirit. And as I said before, I'm challenging us to make sure that we go from this place, at least reading His Word, and then taking the next step, memorize Scripture, putting Him on those index cards, and just carrying around your wallet once in a while and pulling out, you know, sitting there waiting for someone to do something. What am I doing? Oh, I'm going to memorize Scripture. That kind of thing. I have hidden your word in my heart so they might sin against you, Psalm 119:11. So we're going to keep your hearts as a saint. And a saint means faithful and devoted ones. It's from hagioi, literally meaning holy ones. So as a Christian, you are saints. So why in the world would these saints go towards the law, the courts, who are not maybe not saintly, maybe not a Christian, to settle their disputes? Why would they do that? We're supposed to settle our lawsuits or disputes among ourselves. We're not even supposed to sue each other. That doesn't mean the Christians can't go to the court, but that's we're supposed to obey authority, but we're supposed to live in forgiveness. But the church at Corinth, it was a culture of debauchery, right? There was the prostitution in the temple, and then another entertainment they would have was they would take people to courts. And in the public square, they would air their dirty laundry. And if they couldn't settle then, they might even get to a bigger court or a bigger court. So there might be 1,000 people watching people just argue in front of each other, right? Reminds us today. Who watches Judge Judy? Right? Here it is. Court TV, all that kind of stuff, right? Paul was saying that since you're holy as a saint, can't you have the sense to settle the matters among yourself? By this you shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So do not you not know that you are a saint? Point two is, do you not know that you will judge the world? Do you not know that you will judge angels? Really? Think about that. Wow, that is incredible. On that amazing day in the future when the church, you and I, the church, the people who believe in Jesus Christ, will participate in judging of the world and of the angel, that is in the future. So why then are we spending time arguing over minor things? Why? Surely you can settle your petty disputes. Remember who you are. You are a saint. You're a child of God. You're bought at such a great price. And so, when we believe in Him, we follow Him. We forgive others. We love others. And rather than going, I have to have this my way, you wronged me, we take the wrong ourselves. Just to keep the peace and forgiveness. We believe in Him. Some of us believe in Him. We take that first step. We say, Lord, I believe in you. I place my faith and trust in you. I know that you are God. I thank you for the forgiving of my sins. Remember that first time when you said those simple prayer that I love you, Lord Jesus, and I will follow you? And then what we do is life gets busy. We continue to go on, and then we continue to battle ourselves. We continue to go sometimes away from the Lord, where we are struggling really to allow Him to rule and reign in our hearts. In each moment, in each day, Lord, I thank you for what you've done for me. Lord, give me the passion and the desire to follow you wholeheartedly. Give me the passion and the ability to change my heart to truly follow you. And so, as Christians, we settle disputes. And if it can't be settled, it's better to be wrong. Think of spending eternity. Christian brother and sister, could even be a family member that you haven't made up with in eternity, right? So make up with them. Be nice, okay? It's all right. If you're wronged, mature believers are willing to turn the other cheek, go the extra mile. Give the other person the cloak. But in our lives, we want things to be fair. Don't we live in a world? Have you heard kids? What do they do? That's not fair. He got two lollipops instead of one. We hear that all the time. That's not fair. Really, you think fairness is something that happens when we win, if we get our own way. So if we really loved one another and cared for one another as Christ loved us, there wouldn't be any disputes. And if they happen to occur, we would be able as Christians to settle them rather than going to the courts and to trust in the Lord to solve our problems. All right. Do you not know you will judge the world in the future? And then do you not know you will judge angels? Do you not know that? That is an amazing thought. Angels. Personally, this is my personal opinion, I think the angels that we will be judging are the fallen angels that rebelled with Satan. Those are called demons. Where the future home of demons is, of course, and Satan is the lake of fire. Angels, powerful created beings. All the angels that have been created are already created. And I say that because when you die and when children die, they're not going to go and be angels. Okay? Right? Angels means messenger. There's obviously a large numbers of them. And in Revelation 5:11 says the choice of angels, and they saw angels, the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands upon thousands. Angels have great strength and great speed. Angels minister to God and Jesus. They minister to man as God pleases. Think of Peter in prison, and an angel came and smote him on the side and touched the chains, and the chains were fallen free. Think of that. They can bring punishment. They patrol the earth and fight the forces of evil. And angels worship God by doing what He tells them to. Go here, do this, do that. They obey, and there's some angels that are constantly worshiping God. Just a brief idea of angels, just to get to the point that angels are all created beings, powerful, mighty, amazing. And think of angels as they look at you and me, flawed, sinful, dying, weak, puny, sinful man and woman. And they go, "You're using them? Yeah. You're using us. It shows that Christ loved us so much that He just was like us, completely as man. And He became like us. So we can understand Him completely and He understands us. Now, just one last little point about angels. There's three names of angels in the Bible. Only three specific names that are mentioned. One is Lucifer. Lucifer. Lucifer means bright one. Or his name is Satan. In 2 Corinthians 11:14, he's called an angel of light. Just to get the point where there's the truth and the lie. Satan is the father of lies, right? Okay? And so, Jesus is called the light of the world. Here is the counterfeit, Lucifer, the bright one, the beautiful angel, right? Truth is Jesus, Satan, the father of lies. The truth or a lie. Another angel that is mentioned is Michael. Michael, one who is like God. That's what his name means. And he's considered the archangel, the commander. And he battles the devil. And in Jude 9, you see him battling the devil over the body of Moses. And then there's Gabriel, the announcer of the birth of Jesus and the birth of John the Baptist. The three only angels that are mentioned by name in the Bible. But think of how the angels look at us, the frail, the flawed, yet God's love, He sends His angels to guard and to protect and to show people. Turn with me quickly, put your finger in 1 Corinthians. We'll just go to Hebrews in 13 and 2. Find Hebrews in 13 and 2. 13 and 2. We'll go to 13 and 1 just to get it in context. Hebrews 13:1, let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Incredible, right? Tells us to be hospitable, to be kind to others. You never know, it could be an angel, Abraham, in the story in Genesis, entertaining angels, not even knowing that it was an angel. We can do that too. So, point about the angels, love one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, because you never know, we could be entertaining an angel, a powerful created being. So, do you not know? Again, do you not know that you will judge the world? Do you not know that you're a saint? Do you not know that you will judge angels? And do you not know that you are righteous? You have a right relationship with God because of His Son's blood washing your sins. And you have become complete and holy and righteous with Him. And therefore, if you are righteous because God sees Jesus, His Son, in you, why would you go and do all these other sins? 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. Do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And you were, and such were, some of you. But, here's the key, you were washed, sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And there, that whole list is there, as we talked about last week, the whole list is there to point to people that habitually continue in these sins. We are completely forgiven from our sins because we are washed. Washed, our sins are washed away. Washed is from two other Greek words, apo and apoluo. Apo meaning going away from something. Going away. Departure. It also means completion. Done. Finished. Going away. And luo means to bathe. Not just simply bathing. It's like washing the complete body. Washed. Completely. It's done. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so you and me are washed when you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We're washed. We're completely. And then it also says, do you not know you are justified and sanctified? Sanctified? Set apart for a special use. Wow. I'm a believer. I placed my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I'm done. I don't have to do anything else. Not a chance. You're saved for service. You're saved to be His representative. You're saved to be His ambassador. You're saved to further His kingdom. You're set apart for special use. This set apart means to be distinct from what is common. It has been done by Christ's sacrifice. Once you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that moment you do, you're sanctified. But also you're in the process of being sanctified. That's progressive sanctification. Boy, if you use that big word, people might think you're just, wow, you're really religious, but that's okay, right? You're going to continue process as we grow and to mature to become more like Him. Because we are still in process, and we're always in process, and we're always trying to grow more like Christ, and we're always trying to allow Him to work in our life and get rid of ourselves, and so He can shine through. That's sanctification. And then another word, a big word, is justified. Justified means we're pronounced not guilty of our sins, to be declared righteous. It's a legal term. It's a judge saying, boom, not guilty. We're free from the punishment of our sins that we deserve because He gives us His Son righteousness to us, and He sees Jesus in us, declaring us not guilty. Do you not know you're washed, you are sanctified in the process of being sanctified, and do you not know you are justified? Those are great things that we should be so worthy and praising the Lord for. And as we continue on, another thing we want to point out is, do you not know that your body is a member of Christ? Everything is Christ. Everything is Christ. Our breath, our life, our homes, the car, our bodies are Christ. And Paul goes to tell us in 1 Corinthians 6 and 12 that we belong to Christ. He says, all things are lawful in 12 for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful to me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Foods for the stomach and stomach for foods. But God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord is for the body. And God has raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by His power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the member of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. All things are lawful. You have freedom in Christ. You have the freedom to choose what you want to do. You have the freedom even to choose to live for Christ, or the freedom to choose Christ or not. That is amazing. We have a God like that. It's not like you must follow me. You follow him out of love. You follow him because you know that he is true. And he's the truth, and you know that he wants what is best for you, and you follow him because of love, and you follow him because you just have that freedom to accept the blessings that he wants to bless you with. And freedom from sin through Christ, so I can choose to live for Christ and not obey the habits of the world, the temptations that are going to throw our way, or the lusts of the flesh, or the cravings of the flesh. The body, this fragile earthly tent, gets weak It's weak, isn't it? We struggle with lots of stuff, don't we? Okay. I want the little bag of chips, but really, I'm going to go buy the super big bag of chips. And next thing you know, they're all gone. Right? That's gluttony, I would say. You know? But that's what we do. But his idea, his love for us, it is his. It is for his use. And we must not be brought under any power that hurts our walk or hurts others. And that is called to living our life for Christ. It is called discipline. And I know I'm in my life, the freedom I had, I could do anything I want growing up. It's taken time and time and time just to go, I need to live a more disciplined life. Discipline. Discipline. Through freedom in Jesus. And we think, oh, discipline, that being a Christian, Jesus, a killjoy, and there's no fun. But really, when you give your life to Jesus, it's the most fun you can ever have. Because you live moment by moment. And you live day by day. And you know that he has things planned out for you. And you know that even if there's problems and trials and troubles and stress, you know that we are free in Jesus. And we're called to be free from our sins, to share the gospel, to serve and show his love of Jesus instead of being trapped in following anything that will hinder our walk with him, that will rob us with a deeper walk with him. Meat for the body and body for the meat, the stomach. Foods for the stomach and stomach for the food. It's all about the flesh. And it relates that to our sexual appetite or the sexual desires we have. Flee from sexual immorality, because at the time at the Church of Corinth, they separated the body and the soul. There's some people that thought, hey, you know what? It's completely separate. Whatever I do in my body is mine. It doesn't matter. But whatever I do in my soul, okay, I know Jesus, so I can do whatever I want. But we know as Christians, they're so connected. Our spirit and our body, the physical and the spiritual, are so connected, not separated. And so they were saying, you know, Paul was saying, food for the stomach. Well, your stomach's hungry. What are you going to do? Feed it. Right? I'm hungry. Feed me. Same thing with sex. Whoa, I got these desires. Got to go satisfy that urge. Let's do it. No effect on your spiritual side. But we, the body, is connected to the spirit. Shall you come with a harlot and have a body with her? Talking against the prostitutes and the practice that they had in the temple. He shall say, become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is this one spirit with him. Do you not know your body is a member of Christ? And our bodies will be resurrected and finally be glorified and transformed in heaven. So, the problem with sexual immorality? Two become one flesh. Mentally, you join together. Physically, join together. Two become one flesh. And the cure for that is when you're tempted, be on your guard. Here it is right here in 18. Flee from sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does outside his body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? And you are not your own, for your body to price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Our body's God's. We flee from sexual immorality. Of course, the example in the Bible, good example, of course, Joseph, Potiphar's wife. You know the story? Come lie with me, Joseph. And he just got out of there. And this flee means what? Skedaddle. Run. Fast. Zoom. I imagined the little roadrunner. Gone. Right? Okay? Get away. Flee. Because otherwise those temptations can take over and then you can get into all sorts of problems. Because it's a sin against your whole body, your whole being, your flesh and your personality, and you were bought at a great price. Because your body is a temple. It's a sanctuary. The temple was a sanctuary, a place where God resided. Our bodies have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. the helper. It's a sanctuary for God. And we're to glorify God in all that we do and all we say and all we are. And the glory of God is in every believer, so we must sanctify it. That means set it apart and live in holiness. Be holy because I am holy. So we honor God with our bodies by showing the sacrifice of worship and obedience and humility and servants. And now, if you have, which a lot of us have, committed a sexual sin, know that your forgiveness is complete because His blood covers it. Know that you are completely forgiven. And the Bible tells us to walk as new men and women. In Luke 17, 21, it says, "The kingdom of God is within you. And when we turn to Him in repentance, He cleanses us of all our sins. And He comes to live within us by His Holy Spirit and begins to rule in our lives. And more each day, may your life be an example of Christ's kingship in everything in your life. Not just, the Sunday morning thing. Or maybe you're doing the devotion thing in the morning, which is good. Every aspect of your life, allow the Lord kingship in it. Finances, your body, your family, your wishes, your dreams." I want to close by just reading and kind of talking a little bit about how we can live as new men and new women. As Paul was giving us some encouraging words here, "Do you not know? Do you not know? Do you not know?" Those are encouraging. But also at the same time, he's telling us how to live. And in Colossians, he tells us, he gives us a kind of a recipe on how we are to live as new men and new women. Colossians 3 and 1. Flip with me to Colossians 3 and 1. And we'll read it and we'll close with that. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. I just want to read, because 3 and 1, and then we'll take apart 12 through 17. Colossians 3, 1. "If you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge, according to the image of Him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore," and when you see a therefore in the Bible, you go, "What's it therefore?" Here it is, therefore. Listen to this. Here is how that you, as new men and new women, are to live. "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved." Do you know you're beloved? Amazing. God loves you. "And holy, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." So some rules, some challenges. And I'm going to challenge you guys, I said, to memorize scripture at the beginning. This would be a good one to memorize. See if we can go through this and memorize this section, 12 through 17. And then remember it when you're living your life. So one thing we can do, just there's nine things that I wrote down. The first thing is we have a Jesus attitude of compassion and forgiveness. Do we have Jesus' attitude of compassion and forgiveness? Are we compassionate on people? Or do we still judge them for what they wear, or how they look, or what they're acting? Or do we see them as God sees them and Jesus sees them, either lost or saved, either saints or not? The second thing is, do we let love of Him, the love of Jesus and others rule in you? We put on love. That's what we do. We love one another. Or do we have the peace of God, of Christ in your heart? Do you have peace of God with Christ in your heart? Have you prayed and understand that you are loved and you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And if you have, then are you growing more like Him by listening, by reading, by following, by obeying? Have you forgiven as the Lord forgives? Or is there some things you need to deal with? Are you thankful in all situations? Everything. Are you thankful to the Lord? Do you know His Word? Do you keep it with you? Do you sing? Do you praise? Are you full of gratitude? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Do you live as you truly are His representative on earth? And then do you focus on things, on the heavenly? This rule, do you let the rule of God in your heart? Rule comes from the term meaning like an umpire or referee. And He's the umpire, isn't He? He gets to call the balls. He gets to call the strikes. He gets to call whether you're safe. He gets to call whether you're out. If you don't know who you are, what changes do you need to make to honor and obey Jesus? Do you not know who you are? Do everything that honors Jesus as a forgiven child and put on the new self, living daily, day by day for Him. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, You are so great, and just thank You for Your Word. I pray that each one of us gives thanks to You because of the grace in our hearts and because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I just pray that if there's someone here today who does not know You and is not living a forgiven life, I just pray that today is the day of their salvation. They may pray something like this, or their own words. They say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. I confess them to You, and I thank You for saving me. I invite You to be the ruler of my life, the King, and I thank You for the gift of eternal life. Spent in heaven. Lord, I trust in You. And Lord, if there's people here today who are not truly living for You, I just pray that they pray something like this. Lord, I want to obey You in all that I do. I want to forgive as You have forgiven. I want to love as You love. I want to have the attitude of compassion and mercy. I'm thankful for You saving me. I'm thankful for life. I'm thankful for living. I'm thankful for loving. I'm thankful that You are the Lord of my life. And Lord, help me to be truly, truly, completely following You. Lord, thank You for forgiving me. If you prayed to receive Christ the first time, I'd just like you with everyone's eyes closed. Just if you did today, just raise your hand. I'd like to celebrate with you. Is anyone? Lord, we want to just sing to You and worship You and follow You. Praise You, Lord Jesus, for giving us life and life abundantly. That no matter what happens, we can trust and obey. and show others the way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.